It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer, who returns tomorrow. And, of course, we're in the first day of our winter fun drive. You've been hearing us make those pitches to you, and we are in a matching period right now. So if it sounds good, sounds like a good deal to you to give to WNYC to get back the programming that you rely on, make that pledge right now. You can go to WNYC.org. Also give us a call at 888-376-9692. And again, for every $2 you pledge right now, New York Public Radio trustee Cynthia King-Vance and her husband Lee are adding in an extra dollar. So your pledge dollars go further if you make your pledge right now. Go to WNYC.org or 888-376-9692. But we've also got a full show for you today. We'll hear from NPR's Mayra Liasson about the news out of Washington, and she'll give us a quick preview of how things are shaking out for this fall's midterm elections. Plus, where are you from? What do you do? Deborah Fallows of The Atlantic has been studying regional variations in what we say after we say hello, and she reports back. Also, are today's marriages better or worse than in the past? Dr. Eli Finkel says the answer is yes, both, and he'll explain. And have you seen a spike in your utility bills? I know I had some sticker shock when I opened my Con Ed bill last weekend. Our own Ilya Meritz reports on the roundabout reason. The cold temperatures this winter have you paying more for electricity. But first, we go to New Jersey, where the Bridgegate news just keeps on coming, even though a lot of people have stopped talking altogether. Two former allies of Governor Chris Christie said yesterday they will not cooperate with a legislative probe of what's now known as Bridgegate. They've already taken the Fifth, but yesterday, Christie's former political advisor Bill Stepien and Christie's former deputy chief of staff Bridget Ann Kelly told the legislature they won't comply with subpoenas, setting up a possible confrontation in court. Meanwhile, the mayor of Fort Lee, the town ensnared in that now famous traffic jam, says he's not going to talk to a lawyer leading an internal review for Governor Christie. And the governor himself, he's also been pretty quiet lately. He headlined a fundraiser for the National Republican Senatorial Committee last night in the city, but he was in no mood for reporters' questions.
Governor, can you talk about your message in here?
Seriously, are you kidding?
Seriously, are you kidding? Governor Christie said to the Bergen Record reporter Mike Lindhorst outside the Republican fundraiser last night. Meanwhile, life goes on in New Jersey, and for survivors of Hurricane Sandy, so does rebuilding. But this week, we learned a second state contractor in New Jersey involved in that rebuilding has been quietly fired by the state. New Jersey Public Radio's Matt Katz broke that story earlier this week, and he's been following all of this and joins us now. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Anna.
Also with us is Nancy Solomon, the managing editor for New Jersey Public Radio. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
So, Matt, we heard a bit of tape from Chris Christie last night. We haven't heard much from him lately, but he's going to be at a town hall tomorrow talking to New Jersey voters, the first town hall since Bridgegate broke. It was canceled, postponed due to weather earlier this week. It's going to happen tomorrow morning. What do you expect to hear from him tomorrow, and what do you expect his tone to be?
Well, I don't think it'll be as dismissive as you heard in that tape from last night, although that tape was interesting. It indicates maybe the old Chris Christie is back. To hear him casually and maybe a little bit aggressively dismiss a reporter is what we've come grown accustomed to with the governor. Tomorrow, this town hall is going to be slightly different from his previous town halls. He's done 109 of these, and they've been a source of populist strength for him. It's a way for him to put down critics. It's a way for him to, touch people emotionally. I mean, these things, you see people laugh, you see people cry. I mean, it's the whole gamut. But we're expecting it to be a little bit tamped down tomorrow, and that's because he's got this theme of Sandy. It's a Sandy-specific town hall, and he's taken his lumps in the last few weeks over Sandy. Two contractors have been dismissed, major contractors that were in charge of getting people back in their homes. We do not have any clear sense of why they were gone. We know that the second one that we reported last week, the state simply said we didn't need them anymore. This other one, HGI, which was actually the biggest Sandy contractor, there's been absolutely no explanation of why they've been fired or dismissed or terminated. So you're going to see a governor who's a little bit mellower than normal because he realizes that people are getting pretty upset. There was a poll last week from Monmouth University. About two-thirds of people most affected by Sandy are unhappy with the process, are unhappy with the way the state has given out the funds. So he's going to have to answer some of these questions tomorrow. It'll be interesting.
So Nancy, Matt says Governor Christie has taken some lumps for his handling of Sandy. That's putting it mildly. But I want you to break out for us where all these various probes stand. I mean, there is the legislative panel looking into Bridgegate. There's the U.S. Attorney's Office, which is looking into Bridgegate, also looking into Sandy aid. There's also Governor Christie's own internal review. Break down where these are and who's cooperating with which probe.
Sure. So you have all of this began with the legislative probe, and that was, you know, the Transportation Committee of the Assembly, led by Assemblyman Wisniewski. They had subpoena power, and they were able to get these documents, the emails, the text messages, that notoriously then we found out, you know, it's time for traffic problems in Fort Lee. So you have the legislature, which has the subpoena power, but is their subpoena power and their ability to investigate is now being challenged by these two top aides. To Governor Christie. And, you know, and I think, and they've got an interesting case to make because they're saying, listen, there's a federal criminal investigation going on that we will cooperate with. Why should we have all of our emails and text messages be made public? Because a criminal investigation means that, you know, that it is basically kept private unless there's an indictment and things come to court and the records become public. So I think, you know, these folks do have at least they have an argument to make that this is, it's all going to come out in the end. Why should the legislature make it public now? You know, I think the public of the voters of New Jersey have a right to find out what's happening pretty quickly and decide whether or not our elected political leaders should remain in office. So I think there are some very interesting competing needs there. And then you have the situation with the Port Authority and the Sandy aid. So, I mean, that's an even separate scandal that basically emerged out of all of this.
The question of how much politics were governing the decision making around Sandy, and also whether, you know, lane closures and George Washington Bridge. That's what it all goes back to. Governor Christie is also doing an internal review.
Oh, I forgot to mention that.
That's being led by Randy Mastro, a former top aide to Rudy Giuliani. How does Governor Christie describe that investigation?
Right. Well, he says that he has hired Randy Mastro to get to the bottom of this. You know, we were raising questions months ago about why he wasn't trying to get to the bottom of this. So I think Mastro comes into this situation with some troubling questions swirling around this in terms of, you know, why weren't these questions being asked by the governor months ago when all of this was emerging, instead of saying, I was told it was a traffic study, so I didn't look into it any further. So now he's hired a lawyer who is known as a political operator and as a crisis manager for his firm. And so is Mastro hired to defend Christie and keep information quiet, or has he been hired truly to get to the bottom of this for Governor Christie because he truly wants to find out who in his administration was involved and root them out? You know, that's the question, and we're continuing to report on that.
So a lot of players involved in these various investigations. Matt, I want to ask you about legal fees. Who is the state of New Jersey covering at this point, and who is out on their own defending themselves?
The state is covering Governor Christie and his office. That's $650 an hour for Randy Mastro. They're covering the Democratic-controlled investigative committee in the legislature. They're paying, I believe, $350 an hour for a former high-profile prosecutor who's handling their legal arrangement, and state taxpayers are funding that as well. And then there's the question of the legal fees of the Port Authority officials, and there's some dispute about some of them. I believe Bill Baroni, one of Christie's top appointee at the Port Authority. His fees are not being paid for by the Port Authority as of Wildstein's fees are not being paid for. He's the Baroni's deputy.
Who ordered the closure of the lanes, the former high school classmate of Chris Christie.
Right, exactly.
Now not at the Port Authority.
Exactly. And we don't know about Baroni yet. That is still up in the air.
Yeah, I think the indications have been that Baroni's fees are going to be paid for. Or that they seem to be headed in that direction, I think. And that was – so there was a letter – written by Wildstein's attorney complaining about the fact that Wildstein had been cut loose and was now on the hook to pay for his lawyer. And I think in that letter, it makes the point that you're paying for Bill Baroni. Why aren't you paying for David Wildstein? And that raises some really interesting issues about, you know, here was a guy who up until very, very recently was quiet and loyal to Governor Christie. And Governor Christie only had praise for him when he accepted his resignation in December. This blows up a few weeks ago. Wildstein is upset that his legal fees aren't being paid for, and he basically throws Chris Christie under the bus and says Chris Christie knew about the lane closures at the time that they were happening, and evidence exists. So that was kind of shocking because we were perceiving David Wildstein as a loyal soldier who was going to stay within the camp, and now you see the cracks opening wider.
David Wildstein, that again was the letter that came out right before Super Bowl weekend, which headline grabbing implied that Chris Christie lied about what he knew and when he knew it regarding those lane closures. Nancy, the other thing that New Jersey Public Radio has looked into along with NJ Spotlight is whether Hurricane Sandy aid was caught up in politics, looked at the numbers and looked at what Hoboken got. What did we find?
Yeah, there's some troubling patterns going on. And we need to know more. And one of the issues that we're having is that we've had a problem ever since the money came from the federal government to rebuild and recover from Sandy. We've had trouble getting information from the state of New Jersey on how they're making the decisions to spend this money. And this has been an ongoing struggle. And Matt reported a few weeks ago about far-ranging transparency issues with the administration and all the open record requests we've put out that have not come back with the documents. So some of the troubling patterns we're seeing is, you have this idea of, was Chris Christie twisting arms and using political pressure to get Democratic mayors to endorse him to run up his numbers? And then you had Mayor Zimmer, Dawn Zimmer from Hoboken, coming out and saying that she had been threatened that that Hoboken wouldn't get all of its Sandy aid it had asked for if she didn't approve a redevelopment project. And then we find out that a senior center in Belleville, which had been tied to the Democratic mayor's support of Chris Christie, because he said, look, the governor is doing things for us that we need, so I support him. One of those things was a senior center. It turns out that senior center was using Sandy money. And then we had a housing tower in New Brunswick that also received Sandy money. The state says that's because it's providing affordable housing to the whole county. But there are some connections there. Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball star, endorsed Chris Christie on TV during the reelection, and he is an investor in that project. So there are some, troubling issues around the way Sandy money may have been used to curry political favor and advance Chris Christie's political goals.
And Nancy, what a tangled web you just described for us. Journalists are investigating this, trying to figure it out. And as you mentioned, the U.S. Attorney's Office is investing this simultaneously. Something you see sort of down lower in all of the articles about where we are in Bridgegate is where various players are on the question of immunity with those federal investigators. Do you see, Matt, people positioning and trying to make sure that they don't get caught up in any kind of criminal probe?
Well, certainly David Wildstein has been advertising the fact that he wants immunity, and he's been advertising the fact through his lawyer that he may have information indicating that Christie hasn't been truthful about all of this. So certainly he wants immunity and expects immunity. Unclear whether he has the goods or he's just selling it as if he does have the goods.
I mentioned Bridget Ann Kelly and Bill Stepien at the top of this segment. They are the two aides to Chris Christie who've told the legislative panel that they're not going to cooperate. Do we know their level of cooperation with the U.S. Attorney's investigation?
We don't. What's interesting, though, is there are three figures that we know now that are involved in this and have been subpoenaed and have been the focus of this that know more than anybody. That would, if there is a Christie connection here, if he ordered the lanes closed or if he was involved in any sort of cover-up after the lanes closed, three people will likely know, and that's David Wildstein, who is ready to talk, and then Bridget Ann Kelly and Bill Stepien, who, as of now, are not ready to talk, at least to legislators. I mean, they say that they're through their lawyers that they cooperate with any other probe, but we don't know what the extent of that is at this point.
And Chris Christie, again, giving a town hall appearance at Middletown Township in Monmouth County. You'll be there tomorrow, Matt?
Absolutely.
And what's the mood in Monmouth County on the ground? All these headlines, political, you know, talk shows are obsessed with the Bridgegate. People are still trying to rebuild after Sandy. I mean, what is the mood among voters in towns like Middletown?
You're starting to see some grassroots opposition and activism that's starting to bubble up online, at least, to really kind of pin Christie down on this. But we have to remember he's built up such a reservoir of goodwill over his handling of Sandy. I mean, part of the reason why he won by 20 plus points for re-election, and maybe the biggest reason why he won, is because New Jersey thought he did this tremendous job after Sandy. They couldn't believe that he crossed partisan lines to embrace Obama, who was willing to dump money into the state. So he's built up such goodwill that it'll be interesting tomorrow to see how much of that has really worn away and how frustrated formerly pro-Christie Sandy victims are at this point.
And finally, Nancy, I want to shift away from Chris Christie to talk for just a moment about New Jersey Congressman Rush Holt, who announced his retirement from the House yesterday. He just ran an unsuccessful run for U.S. Senate in the seat that's now held by Cory Booker. It's considered a safe seat for Democrats, but what will be lost from the New Jersey delegation with Rush Holt's retirement?
Well, the guy is famously known for being smart, right? So he's...
Brains will be lost.
Yeah, he's a scientist, and he's a smart guy, and he's very, very dug in deep on environmental issues. And he probably... You could make an argument that he was the most progressive member of the New Jersey congressional delegation. So... and he's got a tremendous following in and around Princeton. So I think, you know, I imagine there's a lot of disappointment among, he's got a very strong base. He's not known all over the state, so I don't know that it's going to cause big ripples. And I think, you know, it's thought that that seat is pretty safely Democratic. You know, it's kind of sad to me because, you know, Rush Holt and Frank Pallone have both been waiting a long time to cross over from being in Congress, congressmen to representatives, over to being senators. And every time a Senate seat has come up, they waited their turn, basically, waited in line to be the next Democrat that was going to get a shot at being a U.S. senator. And so then they were left to have to challenge Cory Booker, which is just like the guy's, you know, is a just media juggernaut. You know, regardless of what you think of any of the three of them, it was just a little sad to see that they couldn't get any traction because they just didn't have the kind of name recognition around the state that Cory Booker had. They're both, hardworking, thoughtful congressmen. And so, you know, and I just wonder how much that Rush Holt is basically giving up on his, you know, his dream to be a U.S. senator and is now walking away from it.
Retiring from the U.S. House. Nancy Solomon is managing editor for New Jersey Public Radio. Matt Katz covers Chris Christie, covers all things politics in New Jersey for WNYC New Jersey Public Radio. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks Anna.